are decisions about church closing and a decision about the Supreme Court in Maryland now going to hear the constitutionality of the new law that was passed, the Child Victims Act of 2023. Joining me today to talk about all of this is attorney Jonathan Shakur, who represents people who have filed claims as sex abuse victims under the new law against the church. Jonathan, welcome. Thanks for coming on my show today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Jane. And I want to wish all of your listeners a happy Memorial Day and wish you one as well.
Thank you. You too. Let's start, first of all, with the bankruptcy proceeding, because there have been ongoing hearings about the claims. That's where the claims are now being heard. So what's the latest on that?
The latest is that last Monday we had 8 survivors present to the court impact statements about specifically what occurred to them. So the first one of those presentations was on April 8th. There were 6 survivors presenting, and the second was May 20th. There were 8 survivors presenting. And Jane and listeners, I have to tell you, there is a big difference between reading a claim and hearing a human being behind the claim. Those presentations were extremely powerful and meaningful for this litigation, this Chapter 11 proceeding.
Who described these, the folks who testified at these hearings, just, you know, kind of what their claims are and their experience?
Well, their experience is catastrophic. There were 8, as I said, almost all of whom were sexually abused, but sexually abused in the worst possible way, with rape and oral sex, fondling, and everything imaginable that should never occur anywhere in the world, let alone in a church setting. And these were all in church settings. There were men and women who presented. And as I said, these were very, very powerful presentations. The Archbishop, Jane, and listeners, was in the courtroom and listened to each and every presentation. It was very significant.
This, just to kind of recap the reason that we're in bankruptcy court with this. So these are folks who filed suit or are going to file suit in court under the new law, the Child Victims Act of 2023, which lifted the statute of limitation on sex abuse claims involving the church and other institutions. So we're in bankruptcy court. That's where these claims are going to be heard. And then what?
Well, the claims have to be filed, Jane and listeners, by May 31st, 2024. We're very, very close to the deadline. What the Archdiocese has done by going into bankruptcy voluntarily, Chapter 11, it's federal, number one. Number two, they obtained an artificial statute of limitations. As you just said, Jane, the new law, the CBA, lifted the statute of limitations permanently. There is no statute of limitations. Well, by going into bankruptcy, the Archdiocese obtained a May 31st, 2024 artificial statute of limitations. It's a bar date. It's a date beyond which people cannot file claims against the Archdiocese. Now, people who have claims outside the Archdiocese have no statute of limitations. People who have claims against the Archdiocese and its priests and associated and affiliate members do have an artificial statute of limitations, and it's May 31st, 2024. And if you'll permit, Jane, if you give me permission, I will say to your listeners, if you know a survivor or if you are a survivor, please come forward. There is time to get your claim filed properly. We stand ready to help 24/7, if that's your choice. And Jane, may I give my phone number, because we're running out of time?
Sure, you can. You're right. It's the deadline's coming up, so go ahead.
My phone number, Jonathan Shakur, spelled funny, but Jane can help you with it if you call the station or Google us, is 410-234-1000. Repeat, 410-234-1000. 1,000, and I am encouraging people. There is strength in numbers. Come forward. You may do it anonymously. You do not have to publish your name. We can file your claim anonymously. But I believe fervently, after practicing law for 53 years, that all of you need help. And we stand ready to be able to properly file your claim on a timely basis before May 31st, 2024, or even on that day.
And there are other attorneys, too, in addition to Jonathan and his firm that handle this, and they're pretty easy to find as well. But, I mean, this is interesting and really need to stress it that, you know, even though the new law lifted a statute of limitations, the bankruptcy proceeding has put on a limitation, which is just 6 days away, really, May 31st.
That's right.
To file
that
a claim.
That's correct.
Let's talk a minute about what's going to happen with the Maryland Supreme Court, which has now agreed to hear the constitutionality of the Child Victims Act.
That's correct. The Maryland Supreme Court has agreed to hear, so far, a certified question from the federal court. So what does that mean to the listeners and to you? It means that someone went into federal court, filed a suit. I think it's against the Mormon Tabernacle Church. And the federal judge was asked to certify a question without hearing the merits in federal court, certify a question up to the Supreme Court, and the judge did. In addition, our case, we have what is known as a putative class action against the Archdiocese of Washington. Your listeners should know, I know you know, Jane, that there are five counties in Maryland within the Archdiocese of Washington.
Right.
So my firm,
Prince George's County included, and right.
Yeah, Prince George's, Montgomery, Charles, and others. We filed a class action against the Archdiocese of Washington involving those Maryland counties in Prince George's County, because that is one of the counties, and that's also where the Archdiocese of Washington is headquartered, believe it or not. It's not in Washington. So we filed our suit. The Archdiocese of Washington filed a motion to dismiss. They did not go into bankruptcy like the Archdiocese of Baltimore did. They filed a motion to dismiss. It was argued about a month ago in the Prince George's Circuit Court, and we won on behalf of the survivors. The judge declared the law constitutional, and of course, the Archdiocese took an immediate appeal. And I don't want to go too much into detail, but in order to get to the Supreme Court, which is the highest court, we had to file a petition for certiorari. We filed a joint petition with the Archdiocese. It will be granted, and we will be up to the Supreme Court as well. And we hope that happens promptly.
I thought that they're going to schedule arguments maybe in September.
That's correct. That's for the Mormon case. We don't know whether ours would be scheduled in September or not. If they accepted cert and granted cert for us and we get up there, we hope we do promptly, as I said. And we would accept any scheduling deadlines the court gives us. We're ready, willing, and able to argue.
What's the argument here that this violates the Constitution?
Well, it was a two-hour argument. I'll try and put it in a few seconds.
There you go. Right. Summary of it, right?
Yeah, the Archdiocese of Washington argues that the Maryland legislature did not have the power to change the prior law. So in order to lift the statute of limitations, you had to change the prior law, which established the statute of limitations in Maryland for sexual abuse of minors. And so they're essentially arguing that the Maryland Assembly does not have the power to make that change. I won't go into the details unless you ask me. And they say it's unconstitutional for the Maryland legislature to change the prior law. The prior law has to stay. My reasoning is, among thousands, if not more, is it's a nonsensical argument. If the Maryland legislature can't change the statute of limitations going retroactively in this case, I suppose they can't change it in any case. It makes no sense. They've been changing the statute of limitations in Maryland for more than 100 years.
And again, arguments should be in September. I want to ask you, Jonathan, about the what happened most recently here involving the Archdiocese, and that was the decision that was made this week, actually, putting out a list, and this follows some hearings and meetings with parishioners, et cetera, but putting out the list of church closings, which is a lot. What impact does that have in this, in all of this that's going on?
No one knows exactly why they did it. No one knows, except them, of course. No one knows their motivation for doing it. They said it's a cost-saving move, if you will. Seems oddly timed. In my opinion, it will have no impact on the survivors or the Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
I think the Archdiocese said specifically it doesn't have anything to do with the bankruptcy, but obviously, I mean, they have churches up for sale. They have they hold a lot of property, and these are all assets.
They are all assets. They still own all of them. If they liquidate them, they will have cash, and we will be arguing with respect to their assets fairly soon. As you can imagine, we really can't move forward in any dramatic fashion with respect to dollars and cents for survivors as compensation until we know how many survivors we have. And we will not know how many survivors are involved in the bankruptcy until after May 31st, 2024. And then it will take some weeks to tally all of those. And then we will have a final number on the claimants, meaning the survivors who will be involved in this bankruptcy. We do not know now.
Do you have an estimate of the value of the church's assets?
No, not as yet. They will be tendering those assets, not the assets themselves, but a list of the assets. And then we will go through the process of evaluating that and seeing if the committee, there's a survivors committee which represents all survivors in the bankruptcy, seven people with their counsel, of whom I am one. We will evaluate those assets and make a determination as to whether or not that's a valid number. So there'll be essentially two pots of funds. One will be the assets involved by the Archdiocese themselves, and a second will be their insurance proceeds.
To make up the pool of money that might be available for claims.
Yes.
All right. And again, Jonathan Shakur, thanks for coming on today. And again, just to stress that the deadline for claims under this proceeding, which is the bankruptcy proceeding involving the Archdiocese of Baltimore, the deadline is 6 days away, May 31st.
That is absolutely correct. We're encouraging everybody to come forward and stand with us.
All right. Jonathan Shakur, attorney who represents some of the folks who have filed claims against the church. Thanks for coming on today and have a good weekend.
And thank you, Jane, and listeners. I most appreciate it.
All right. You're listening to The Jane Miller Show on WBAL News Radio 1090 and FM 101.5.